Psalm 100. A psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
The 100th Psalm has been one of my favorites for many years. And I'd like to invite you to open your copy of God's Word to that psalm as we take a look at how the psalmist describes worship. Here's a model for the gathering of God's people to worship him. What does the psalmist have to say? Well, first I'd like you to notice that worship is active. And in order to convey that, the psalmist uses five verbs to show the actions of worship. The actions of worship. One, he uses shout, serve in verse 2. In verse 2 and 4, he uses come or enter. In verse 3, he uses know. And in verse 4, we're to give thanks. Also notice that, secondly, worship is celebratory. And the psalmist uses more descriptive language to paint a picture of how we are to approach our God in worship. In verse 1, not only are we to shout the action, but we're to shout joyfully our attitude. We're to serve, in verse 2, the action, the attitude, gladly. We're to sing joyfully. We're to enter with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. So we have attitudes of joy, of gladness, of thanksgiving, and praise. Now to properly, rightly divide God's word, I turned to the library to discover what these words mean. Shout, serve, come, know, give. Joyfully, gladness, joyful, thanksgiving, praise. And so I'm studying, I'm going into the concordance, I'm going to lexicons, I'm going into word books to see what great wonders I can find for you. I found out that is means is. And when the psalmist says shout, you know what he means? Shout. Sorry, it isn't any deeper than that. When he says come, he wants you to come. And when he wants you to be joyful, that's exactly what he means. One interesting thing I did find is that, and I'm sure you know this, the Psalms are full of a technique used by writers called parallelism, meaning they will repeat a phrase almost identically but use different words. And one of the interesting things I found in verse 4 was, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Now, on first look at that, it means the same thing, and indeed it does to a degree, but there is a little bit different shading between the thanksgiving, which is praise or a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and the second line, enter his courts with praise. Praise there means just a little bit more. It's not just a giving of thanks to God, but the praise here indicates a response to God's attributes. So you get into the why are we thankful? Why do we enter his courts joyfully? So we've seen that worship is active, and worship is celebratory. Thirdly, I'd like us to notice that worship is intentional. The psalmist reminds us of who we are to worship, how we are to approach him in worship, and why we worship him. The aim of our worship is, number one, to know that the Lord is God. Again, that seems so obvious. We know that that's why we come here, to God's house, to worship God. Psalm 83 says, "Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth." The psalmist wants us to know that God is God, and he alone is God, and he is God over the entire earth. Now, I'm guessing, once again, I did not lay any new information on you. But that's not the point. The point is for you to let that churn. Okay, if God is God over all the earth, then that means he is God everywhere, and he is God within everything. And so where I find myself, however uncomfortable I might be in that situation, he is still what? He's still there. He's still God. Well, he alone is God over all the earth. And we are to worship only the Lord. The Ten Commandments start out with, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." He alone is God, and he alone is to be the object of our worship. We are to worship him because, as God, he has all these amazing attributes. He is omniscient, he is omnipotent, he is omnipresent, he is eternal, he is faithful, he is holy, he is just, he is loving, he is merciful, forgiving, good, infinite, unchanging, patient, righteous, sovereign. Yes, we are to know that God is God. We're to know that he is our creator. The psalmist tells us in 139, verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." We are to know that he is our Savior. John 4, "The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." The scripture that we all have memorized and know so well, John 3:16, say that with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Yes, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, but more importantly, he sent the Son to be my Savior, to be your Savior. Romans 8:16 says, not only is he to be our Savior, but we can know that he is our Savior. In fact, he has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. The Spirit himself in Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." We are heirs, joint heirs with him. We are God's children. You have a Savior. We're also to know that he is our shepherd from this psalm. John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Psalm 23. I'm sure you know it. You know it so well. I'm going to start a line and then have you finish it. Okay, I have extreme confidence in you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He makes me lie down in green. He leads me beside the He restores my He leads me in the paths of for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the I will fear, for you are your rod and your staff, they you prepare a table before me in the presence of you anoint my head, my cup. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. This is your shepherd. Worship is intentional. You had intent today. You got out of bed. It may have been an alarm clock. It may have been a Charlie horse. Whatever it was, you were prompted to get out of bed. And you realized it was Sunday morning, so you got dressed, you got in your car, and you came to worship. And you walked in here and you sat down. That's intention. You followed the psalmist's admonition. You came. You entered. You approached the holy God of the universe. The psalmist says we are to enter his presence with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a theme throughout the New Testament in worship. There are some key passages about worship in the New Testament. And they all have kind of the start in one general area and talk about worship in this regard, and then they all have one common denominator, and it is giving thanks to the Father. Ephesians 5 talks about, do not be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit. And the result of that filling of the Spirit is that you will speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:16 is a parallel passage, but it does not start with the Holy Spirit. It starts with the words of Christ and how we're commanded to let them dwell richly in our lives. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, and the result of that is sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then one other passage found in Hebrews 13, verse 15. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We're to enter with thanksgiving. We're to enter his courts with praise. Now, how is this word praise different than thanksgiving? This is the praise that is, remember we talked earlier, is the response to God's attributes. So that list of attributes that I went through, his omniscience, his omnipresence, his mercy, his love, those are the compelling factors about our God that cause us to worship him. We're also to bring blessings. Now, the blessings, I thought God was supposed to bless us, right? That's what we pray for. We sing about him. We're supposed to count him. How's God doing this week? Is it God 6 and the devil 2? Or is, you know, is the score going the other way? We're to count our blessings. We're to ask for blessings. Well, we are also to bless him. And this word carries it the picture of a door on bended knee. There's so many words in the Old Testament that can be translated praise, thanksgiving, worship in the Old Testament. But a couple of the key ones are to serve, to work, and to bow. And at my age, and yeah, I'm much older than I look. You say, who are you kidding? Hey, let me have my own fantasy, okay? At my age, getting down on my knees, it takes longer, but I can still do it. The problem is what? Getting back up. Yeah, that's the... and I would like to say to you that it's not really about the physical posture, but you know what? As many ways as I'd like to turn that word, the Bible says bow. You remember Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. Isaiah sees heaven. And there's God on the throne. And the angels with six wings covering their face, covering their feet, and flying. Encircling the throne, saying what? Holy, holy, holy. Well, Isaiah went beyond bowing. He fell on his face. And he said, woe. Woe is me, for I'm a sinner. I'm a man with unclean lips. It's a great picture of worship. When we intentionally get in our cars and drive here, come through the doors, we are also intentionally to sit here and let the Holy Spirit draw us into the presence of God. And we use these songs, hymns, spiritual songs, choruses, poems sent to music. A little sidebar, you know, so many of these hymns that we fall in love with, the person that wrote them never heard them with that melody. They never sang them as we do. It might take a couple bars before they say, oh, hey, I wrote that when they hear it, if they get a chance to hear it in heaven. Because they were writing poetry. They were journaling about what God has done in their life. They're writing a spiritual diary. They're writing lyrics. They're writing poetry. And then later somebody says, hey, this is pretty good. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Somebody ought to write a melody for that. We could sing that. Yeah, we sure could. Good idea. Well, here's Isaiah falling on his feet before God. Why? Because he saw the holiness of God. And there was no doubt what to do. When you see God's holiness, you see your own sinfulness, and you recognize, I need a Savior. I must confess my sin. And then God says, after he has cleansed him, I'm not real excited about how he did that. Do you remember? He took a coal from the altar and touched his lips. Man, I don't like chap lips. But God cleanses Isaiah's lips and then says, I need someone to go for me. Who will go? Isaiah's looking around the room. No, not at all. He didn't. He wasn't looking for anybody else. He said, me, send me, because I know who you are. I can tell the world. You're the holy God. I've seen you. You've touched my life. You changed me. Where's the door? I gotta go. That's what we do here. We come, we sing a song, we hear a testimony, we recognize that God is still working. You're sitting here and I say, or Kyle says, or Dale says, or Cliff says, hey, meet and greet people. Let them know that you're excited you're here. And you look around the room and you shake the normal hands, and then all of a sudden, you see someone across the room, and the Holy Spirit, boom, gives you a memory. They taught my son's Sunday school class. I don't know that I ever thanked him for that. And you go over there, and you thank him, and you offer a sacrifice of praise, thanking them for what they did for God. You see the person who walked with you when you were in the hospital, came and visited, and you thank him. That is thanking God, because that person was God's feet and hands for you. One of the things that Jan and I, my wife Jan, is hiding somewhere in the back, depending on how this goes. we're impressed with when we first came to this church was when we first walked in, so many people greeted us out in the foyer, and then we came in and sat down, and then I had to keep standing up because more ladies came over to say hi and hug on my neck and welcome us, and then they started the service, and then they said, now's the chance to meet and greet. And I'm going, I don't know if there's anybody here I haven't met yet. I'm going to have to go out here in the street and flag somebody down. But there was one gentleman who week after week sought us out. And once I learned his name, the first time, it was very easy for me to remember his name, because it had the same name as a very close friend of my father's. And that friend became a mentor to me while I was growing up. And it was, so every time I see that person, I'm able to offer up thanks, not only for the warm welcome that this person gave me, but for the history of someone else is just by having the same name. We're thankful for what God has done in our life. He is our Savior. We're thankful for what He brings in our life, because He is the sovereign God. He is omniscient. He knows everything that's coming our way. He is the one who says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. I have a plan for you. Now, sometimes when we sit here and we sing of God's faithfulness, it is so easy to review your life and thank God for the blessings He's brought you. And you can sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, from the bottom of your heart at full tilt. Then there are other weeks when we go to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the words catch. Now, why is that? Is God less faithful? No. Because one of His attributes is He's unchanging. The same yesterday, today, forever. But as we go on the chalkboard, Satan 6, God 2, in blessings,
God has fallen behind. And now we're wondering, hey, what about faithfulness? Why, you know, and it's hard for us to sing. So that's when in worship we're to know. That's why the psalmist says, know, come, enter. But know, remind yourself, he is still God. He is still the only God. He is still the all-knowing, all-loving. He's also the great physician. We love that 23rd Psalm about him leading us by quiet waters and restoring our soul. But he is also the shepherd who walks with us through the valley of death. And we are called through so many ways to serve him, to live a life of trusting him. I think as Americans, and anymore, this just doesn't apply to Americans, it applies to employed Americans. It's difficult for us at times to understand living by faith. But if you're no longer in the employed American column, or if you are your employment is by commission only, then living by faith is very real every day and every week. I have to trust God for everything because I can't rely on what makes me so comfortable. And sometimes it's a challenge for us. And I don't know about you. I'm sure you don't do it. I'm sure it's just me. That sometimes I get angry with God. Because I'd rather be more comfortable. I'd rather to have a cushion. I'd rather look at my bank statement and say, okay, I'm set. I can live to 200. When sometimes I look and it's like, I hope he comes today. Because I don't know if I have enough gas money to get to work tomorrow. You know, it's one of those things. But, you know, he's called us to trust him. He's called us to live a life by faith. And the only time we panic is when we, in fact, sometimes we pray, I want to trust you more. It's like praying for patience. You know, most of us have learned to stop doing that because that just gets ugly real quick. And living by faith and trusting him is kind of the same thing because then he's going to say, oh, you want to trust me? Oh, okay. But friends, I just want to encourage you. When we come, as intentional as we are when we get in our car and we dress and we come here, let's be just intentional. And as we sit, as we sing, as we read, as we listen, let's be intentional with our sacrifices of thanksgiving, the praise offerings that we offer. Be reviewing in your mind, what is God doing? What is he calling me to? For what can I give him praise today? That's just as important as getting in your car and coming here, is to be intentional about how am I going to praise. This service is not about what did we get from Dale. What did we get from God? It's what did we bring God? We're the ones bringing the sacrifice of praise. Imagine if today was a covered dish, lunch. Now, for those of you who just woke up at the word covered dish, there is not a covered dish. Don't go running for the exits. There's not a covered dish lunch. But just imagine, if you would, that today were a covered dish lunch. And we all got in our car and came and walked in, and every one of us forgot to bring a covered dish. And then we'd go down to the gym hoping, oh, I hope somebody brought something because I know I forgot. I'm too embarrassed to leave. Everybody's seen me here, so I got to go down here. And then you go down into the fellowship hall, and there are the tables, the tablecloths. There's the silverware and the forks and the spoons and the plates and the napkins and no food. Well, maybe there's dessert. So you look over here at the right. I've only been to two, but always desserts seem to be hanging out on the right. Is that the case? Notice what I pay attention to. And I look over here, and there's no pecan pie. There's no banana pudding. And I turn to my wife and say, why am I here? There's no food at this covered dish. Do you think God's ever had that reaction to our worship services? We all came, but nobody brought a covered dish. Nobody brought a sacrifice of praise. I trust that's not the case. Well, worship is active, it's celebratory, it's intentional. We're here to remember that God is God. He is our creator, he's our savior, he's our shepherd. We come with our thanksgiving, with our praise, with our blessings, and we worship him because he is good.